wishing all Radio Aryan listeners
a happy Christmas
and a diversity-free New Year.
To the Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Highmark at RadioAryan.com.
Comrades, this is your host of the Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and we're here today, the last edition of our show for the week, and it's got to be a week break. I wanted to warn all of my listeners that I am not going to be here next week. Sven has been absolutely amazing and has recorded some amazing narrations that are going to be filling the spot, because we're going to have next week, you know, it's all about faith, family, and folk. And, you know, I'm Orthodox, so my Christmas still isn't until January 7th, but we're having my my son's godparents come with their kids, and are going to come and spend a couple days with the family, and we're going to, you know, really enjoy that sense of community. It's really important, you know, for my son, but for everyone to be together. And, of course, Jason, his family, and some of our other comrades are going to be coming, and it's going to be, I think, a really, really special time. So I just, before we kick off, wanted to say, not going to be here next week. Be happy to be back once we get into the new year for 2017, which will be the best damn current year. 2016 was great, but this is going to take it to the next level. But then also, there's going to be great shows filling in the spot. And I just want to encourage everyone to take the opportunity to go spend time with your family and your comrades and really use this holiday season to strengthen these bonds, because we're headed into a very exciting year. But I'm joined today with my good friend, my comrade, Jason Augustus. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and also ditto on the Christmas thing. Us evil pagans also celebrate at this time of year.
Happy Yule,
yeah,
sir.
Happy Yule, yeah. Yeah,
it's, sir!
It's Yo Saturnalia, for your information, sir. I'll have you know. No, I'll be spending time with my family at that time. I'll be usurping some of yours.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great time.
Well, you got a tree now, so now that there's a tree, I mean, everything's official.
Yeah, you can't back down once there's a tree.
Now we're stuck with it. Yeah, but now I don't feel bad about, you know, if I leave my Christmas lights and stuff up past the new year, then I'm not trashy, I'm just Orthodox. But I wanted to kick into some of the things that are going on today, and we have talked about the Nordic Resistance Movement a lot. I was featured in an interview with one of their publications a few weeks ago, and they're absolutely the best group of guys, and I mean that sincerely. They, what they've been able to do in Norway and in Sweden and in Finland, has been able to take a country, you know, countries that we generally think is being pretty paused, in all honesty, and taken this and built a real national socialist movement that gets thousands of people into the streets and never backs down from the left. And it just goes to show, even in the most left-wing country, if you've got the men who are dedicated, the men that are professional and willing to sacrifice and put everything on the line, you can build a movement, and a movement that grows. And it's so important for us to be able to see and to be able to support them, because they really are behind enemy lines. And they've been fighting for National Socialism for years. Many of their comrades have spent time in jail on false charges, and they're fighting, and they're fighting to win. And recently, their manifesto was just translated into English. I encourage everyone, it was listed on Daily Stormer and the Traditionalist Youth Network website, to get a free PDF. It's absolutely a great read to be able to understand how National Socialism within the Nordic countries would work within the 21st century. So, encourage everyone to look at it. But we talked about this before as well, about what's happening in Finland. What happened is there was this anti-fascist who was a drug addict. I mean, literally just talking about this, about human garbage. I am glad he is dead, because he was infected with all sorts of diseases. spits on one of the Nordic Resistance comrades, and they attack the Nordic Resistance comrades, fight back. We were talking about this literally yesterday. The guy then a week later dies, and likely due to drugs. But now, because of this, so junkie piece of garbage starts a fight, loses the fight, is fine, goes home, drugs himself to death. Now, according to a news story just from this morning, the National Police Board will seek a court order to outlaw a neo-Nazi group called the Finnish Resistance Movement. The organization, which describes itself as National Socialist, has been under close scrutiny since last September when a man died after being assaulted during one of its demonstrations in Helsinki. One of the extremist group's founders, 28-year-old Jesse Torninen, pardon my pronunciation, went on trial on Wednesday over that incident. Jason, I want to bring you in because now we're sitting a week after National Action was banned in the UK, and we've got a case that is so clear-cut that they didn't do anything wrong. And same thing with National Action, they never did anything. There were words on the internet the system disagreed with. There was organizing in the streets the system disagreed with, but there were no terror attacks. There were no everything. The only violence that ever happens is when the left brings violence. So I want to get your knee-jerk reaction to what's going on.
I can't give you my knee-jerk reaction because we have to watch our language. I'm reminded of that SpongeBob episode where DoodleBob throws the bowling ball at Patrick's head, and his head turns into a pin. He gets a strike, falls into the hole, and when asked if he's okay, he yells, "Finland!" This is generally what's happening. I mean, you keep hurting us and hurting us and hurting us and taking away and taking away. Eventually, we're just going to yell out, "Finland!"
I mean, they don't understand. The system really doesn't fundamentally understand. If you take away our ability to handle this and work it through the process, they're not, and I don't want to go too far deep down that rabbit hole, but they're not leaving us a whole lot of options, to say the least. They're not leaving us a whole lot of options. And you know what really disgusts me? So the Nordic Resistance Movement had one of their comrades handcuffed, arms, hands behind his back, handcuffed in a police wagon with a violent anti-fascist that was uncuffed. Who was allowed to just absolutely beat the shit out of a guy that was handcuffed and chained down. And pardon me.
You
I know, it's a family-friendly show, but it makes me really angry. It makes me so angry that someone who is my comrade, who is fighting for his people and fighting for the European people, the police literally set up a situation for him to get severely injured. And then, we made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You claim that we as nationalists are violent when the state and the left work hand in hand together to inflict terror upon our families, violence upon our bodies, even assassination of our members, like we've seen with Golden Dawn. This system is the most violent system, but this Orwellian doublethink of peace, war is peace, is the sort of thing that their entire thing is violence is nonviolence, and violence these terms that they use, it honestly, I'm flabbergasted sometimes of how corrupt this system is, how corrupt it is. It's not criminal when anti-fascist groups like in Sweden and stuff like that burn people's houses down or smash out their car windows. Like the Revolutionary Front in Sweden, I think it's Sweden, is a group that is on camera all the time. They film it, doing terror attacks against not just folks like us, just anyone who's somewhat on the right, because the definition of fascist or Nazi is anyone the left disagrees with. So they're an actual terrorist organization that also fights the cops, but nothing ever happens to them. Nothing ever happens to them. Same in the United States, same in Greece. In Greece that they arrested after a recent firebombing of a Golden Dawn office when I was there. They arrested some of the Antifa, and some of them were the kids of members of parliament. And of course, nothing happened to them. This entire system is built upon violence against nationalism, violence against the family, violence against anything that's normal. And they claim we're the violent ones.
Yeah, I've been hearing this and feeling this for, over 15 years, back when I used to listen to William Pierce talk about the 8-year-olds that were getting raped and all these horrible things that were happening in the world that that rant that you just went on, I've been on for a very, very long time. It's this kind of thing doesn't stop. It never stops. It doesn't look like it's ever stopping. But the thing is it's getting worse now because they're banning any possible opposition to it. They're stripping the voice away from us in every way, shape, and form that they can. And they should know that this is a time bomb. Yeah. Like, our people can only take so much, and we can only be pragmatic and rational and logical in an illogical and an impractical world for so long. And I don't want to go too deep down that rabbit hole because, you know, it's a scary place to think, like where your head is thinking now. But all I can say with absolute certainty is one way or another, these enemies are going to be dealt with. They know it. They're shaking in their boots right now. That's why they're banning all of these things.
Well, it's because we're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I'm literally talking about this yesterday on the show, like, and it's amazing every day within the span of 24 hours, things just go to reaffirm our positions. Comrades, we need to be inspired, and things like this are frustrating. I was talking to some of my buddies in the Nordic Resistance Movement just yesterday that were talking about some of these things, and you know what? The thing is, we are winning. The people are awakening. That they are banning these movements. They are trying to shut us down for the same reason they've tried to ban nationalist groups in the past. And remember this. The National Socialist German Workers' Party was banned at one point, and less than a decade later had taken over the entire country and was the leading voice of nationalism and tradition in the entire planet. So remember that these temporary situations, the government can only do what the people allow it to do. But with more and more people awakening to the positions of nationalism, things like these bans become irrelevant. Things like these attacks upon us really become nothing but badges of honor, badges of martyrdom, you know? That's what these things become because the people are awakening. How many families now in Europe have lost members of their family or their friends to terror attacks that didn't have to happen? How many families have had their sisters or their mothers or their daughters raped? How many? Thousands in Rotherham alone, in one city. And I always like to bring it up because for just one city, the idea of 1,500 young girls trafficked and raped and abused in one city, there is no way you could live in Rotherham and not be somewhat affected in some capacity, whether it's an immediate family member, someone you went to school with or something like that, or the daughter of someone who you work with, that there is only so much that the people can take. And people are awakening to this. And that's where we see these pop up, you know, sort of nationalist parties. I mean, they're civic nationalists, but like the AfD in Germany was fully civic nationalist. And now they've got multiple members of their party leadership facing criminal charges for saying nationalist things. You know, as they're trying to shut down the NPD, of course, you know, who are my homeboys. But now the AfD is moving to the right because the situation, the blood is flowing in the streets of Germany. Of German citizens, of German men, women, and children out trying to celebrate Christmas, of German women who were being raped, of German men and women, and the elderly who were being beaten on the streets by these gangs of foreigners, these invaders on our lands that the Jews have hopped up on propaganda and have let loose into our society, you know? And we need to always focus that who did this. You know, you don't get mad if a pit bull at the pit bull if it's released in a you know, in an elementary school. Now you have to deal with the pit bull, but the dude that let the pit bull loose, that's the one who did it. And that is what the Jews are. These Jewish oligarchs are the ones that have released these pit bulls into the elementary school. So we always need to identify what's going on. But you know, I mean, the thing is, we can only be pushed so far before people leave their comfort zone, because you know, they're of course crashing the economy as well. And I just saw an article, it made me want to, I had to laugh because it's the only logical thing, where it said that refugees are filling positions with German trucking companies because there's a lot of the truckers are getting older and retiring, and a lot of younger Germans are going into different fields. So refugees are now filling jobs as truckers. So now the number one favored weapon of ISIS in Europe is trucks. That's a great plan. That's not nothing bad ever had happened when you take a bunch of refugees and literally just give them the trucks. Don't have them hijack them, just pay them to drive them, you know, until they drive them into a Christmas market. So people are waking up. And even these parties like the AF Day that were, you know, far more towards the center are moving towards the right. And they're seeing that any criticism of Merkel, any criticism of the EU, any criticism of the terrorism that are happening in the streets of Germany gets them locked up. And it comes to a certain point, and this is, you know, what happened with my activism and a lot of people. Eventually, you realize, stop being clever. You can't be more clever than the Jew. And clever is not intelligent. Clever is, you know, we're going to get one over on someone. Eventually, you realize, you just need to be nationalists. You just need to be who you are and tell the people what you are. And the people are coming to this, and the people are awakening. So, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, that this is a rather passionate thing. But, you know, in the example of National Action, that's one I covered a lot, too, because those guys are my friends. Like, those guys are my comrades. Like, I genuinely care about them. And the what their government did is horrendous. And in the Nordic Resistance Movement, those guys are my friends as well. Like, those are my comrades. And the fact that for defending themselves, guys are going to prison. And the fact that defending their people might get them banned just like National Action. You know, the guys in the NPD that are facing the same thing possibly in their country, fighting for the German people for 6 decades, you know, against all the attacks, all thousands of physical attacks against their members. Imprisonment, you know, when I was in Germany, I met so many guys that had done BS jail time over stupid things because they were winning. And the state wanted to crack down on them. Like, these are our friends. And even if you don't know them personally, these are your brothers and your sisters. So this is an attack on our family, and we need to treat it like that. And that actually kind of brings us into our next topic. But Jason, I want to turn it back to you if you've got any final thoughts before we move on to the second part of the show.
Just with the Nordic Resistance Movement, with the NPD, with National Action, you got to look at the reasons these guys were banned. It wasn't because they were anti-Islamic. It was because they were tying the heads of the Hydra to the heart. They were National Action, would they have that sign, Hitler was right?
Yeah.
Yeah. These are not people that are playing into the hands of the Jew. These are people that are, they're not afraid of them. That's why they're getting banned. So whenever we see these kinds of things happen, even here in this country, whenever we see blacks attacking whites, if we go down this road of completely leaving the Jew out of the equation, if we fail to tie the head to the heart, we are never going to solve this problem. Do not call them the N-word. Call them Jewish minions. Call them something that connects them. Make it known in the public sphere that these are servants of the Jew. These are not people that are acting in their own best interest.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. The Jew is the enemy of all free peoples. And that's why, I mean, you just look at World War II, whether it was the Muslim volunteers who fought in the SS, whether it was blacks in the Africa Corps, whether it was the Asians uniting together to be able to fight against global Jewry. This was a global crusade, and that's what is coming again, this idea of national solidarity. I was talking actually to one of my friends who's in Japan, talking about these issues just a couple days ago, and about how we need to promote working together. And one of the my big dreams is being able to bring a party delegation. The Yakasumi Shrine is, I've talked about it before, but it's something that I really want to do. It's the shrine to their war dead in World War II, and I want to go and lay flowers there and say, you know, I am sorry that my people were tricked into fighting for the Jew against your people. Next time, let's stand together. And that's, I think it's 100% right, Jason, that these groups that focus on Sharia law, like here in the United States, we've got like Act for America, that's like a huge, they're so pro-Zionist, but they're opposing Sharia law and stuff like that. I'm not worried about Sharia law. I'm worried about Jewish imperialism. I'm worried about the Jewish oligarchs. I'm worried about those things that are controlling the countries in the entire Western world and trying to control every single group of people. But they're okay with it. Like the system will let you, and you're right, because it's a safety valve. If you're out there and we were going to protest, black organizations, or if we're going after illegal immigrants, but not after the capitalists and the Jews that are bringing the third world labor here to destroy our wages, destroy those people's country, and then use them here as a weapon against us. Like, you can go after illegal immigration all day long until the cows come home, but when you identify that it's the Jews, their financial interests and their political power that is really bringing this and really driving it, then that's when they work to shut you down. So that's why we need to always be standing against the Jew and make that the forefront of what we're doing, because they are the problem. Everything else we have, from radical feminism to mass immigration, that is the symptom of the cancer. We need to treat the cancer. We need to identify the cancer, because because before you can treat it, you have to identify it. So I think that's a really, really, really an important thing for us to be able to touch on. But I want to talk also about what's going on in Whitefish. So we have a really big opportunity here, I think. What happened to Richard Spencer's mom, we've covered it on the show, of this attempted extortion. Extortion of a woman who has nothing to do with our politics. And we need to understand that they are identifying our family members to try and hurt us, to try and hurt the movement, to try and make us blink. And these people have no humanity that are fighting against us because they don't see, you know, I said it before, but it's true. The mafia had rules. No women and no kids. You leave the families out of it. If you've got a problem with another mafioso, you've got a problem with someone you had business dealings with, even the mafia.
Dude, you're talking about Italian mobsters. The Jewish mobsters did not have that moral code.
Well, of course. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like the Italian mob, you know, as bloodthirsty as they could be and things like that, there were still rules. There was a code of honor that you swore. And so you think about that. These people that run these supposed tolerance groups are more bloodthirsty and have less honor than criminal enterprises like the mafia had. And they are going after our families. And if we have the opportunity to show that there are real consequences, and this is legal and peaceful. Let me say it again. Legal and peaceful. The consequences have to be the same consequences they try and inflict on us. Because what they try and do, they try and get you kicked out of your apartment. They try and get you fired from your job. They try and ostracize you from the community. They use legal means, peaceful means. They use social media. They use boycotts. They use intimidation through, having people not want to be associated with you due to exposing, you know, what our nationalist principles are. But in this case, we've got the opportunity to show this is a Jewish extortion racket. This is what they're doing. This is what they are trying to do. So I would encourage all of my listeners, if you can, especially with the United States, go ahead on the Daily Stormer. They've got a breakdown of the various people involved in this. The employers of the woman who's behind this, businesses and stuff like that. Call them, send them an email, and let them know that you're displeased with this. And again, do not threaten anyone. Don't threaten anyone. Don't threaten anyone. Because all that does is it plays into their hands, it makes them victims, and then allows them to use the state that loves any opportunity to crack down on nationalists to come against us. This has to be done with zero threats, zero intimidation in terms of like threatening violence or anything like that. Don't do that. But let them know that you're tired of their Jewish nonsense. Let them know that they're not going to be allowed to intimidate people and get away with it. Call and say you are going to boycott their businesses. If there are businesses that are affiliated with greater conglomerates, go to the conglomerate and threaten to boycott and say you're going to boycott until this is dealt with. This is an opportunity for us to push back because they've been pushing back on us for a really long time. But this provides, I think, a great opportunity for us to say that we're not going to be silent. You can't bully us anymore. And we're going to use our peaceful means of protest and use of the First Amendment when we still have it to raise awareness. So I want to turn that over to you, Jason, and see what you think.
Well, even our peaceful protests are viewed as violent, you know. Anything that we do is wrong inherently, even if it's firing off an angry email. So I would encourage those with the courage. I never thought I would say that. Yeah. Those with the courage to fire off an angry email, absolutely try your best. Don't assume anyone's gender either, I guess. You know, all this craziness that they have you up, but don't think that it's anything light either. I mean, you know, just doing that email, just firing off that email is a statement, and it does matter, and it matters a lot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the sort of thing. It's solidarity, too. And like we have solidarity with our nationalist comrades in National Action or the Nordic Resistance Movement or the NPD that are facing these attacks by their government in the United States, we need to stand together because this is an attack on, you know, it's really an attack on Richard Spencer. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Richard and I have had our differences in the past. You know, obviously, we've got religious differences, we've got some ideological differences, we've got some class differences. But you know what? He's a nationalist. He is a white nationalist that wants an ethno-state for my children to live in one day. And that's a man that is my comrade. That is a man who is fighting for the best interests of our people. And regardless of any differences we might have, there might be some people who might be listening right now who have differences with me. And that's great. But we are a family. And we need to remember that if someone, I mean, this is like, you know, middle school rules right here, that if someone like knocks your brother into the mud or threatens to beat up your brother or take his lunch money or something like that, you make it clear that you're not going to let that happen on your watch. And that's where We need to come together. This is what builds a movement, this camaraderie within a cause, where we say that you're not going to be allowed to bully groups, even if they're in different subcultures, even if they're in different organizations, even if you don't see eye to eye on everything. A white nationalist who is fighting for our people, putting himself out there and sacrificing. Because you know what? Richard, as a man, you know, he comes from a well-to-do background. And he went to, you know, a good prep school, went to a good college. He could have had a normal life that by every metric of American society was extremely successful. Extremely successful. He could be a multimillionaire, never talked about politics, could have kept it quiet. But he decided that he was going to sacrifice. And he was going to put himself out there. And he was going to risk the death threats. And I know he gets death threats because sometimes on Twitter, I get tagged into the death threats of where they threaten both of us simultaneously. And he is sacrificed. And what he's going through with his family, this is a man that has not backed down and has only doubled down on the defense of our people. So any differences we might have had in the past, let's bury the past. You know, let's forget about that and remember that this is our family and they're attacking our family. And it's time we say we're going to stand up with our family. And that's really what a movement is. That's what nationalism is. Our race is our extended family. We need to treat them like that.
I agree 100%. I don't know what these people, these real estate people, I guess, that were doing this, were thinking. Like, hey, maybe if I attack what's most precious to him, he will stop. I mean, when somebody attacks something precious to me, if somebody threatens my direct family, you're going to make things 10 times worse.
You're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, it's not gonna be a good time for you, buddy. I mean, if I'm sure there are any anti-fascists listening here, I would pose the same question to them. I mean, do you really think that your threats are going to demoralize us, or can you at least see the tiny little bit of rationality in that you are emboldening us, you are strengthening our resolve to fight you even harder?
Yeah, because there's no way within the system for us to peacefully coexist when they're trying to hurt our families. They're trying to intimidate our families. They're trying to bring everything we hold most sacred in this life, and they're trying to attack it and destroy it. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? we will not go quietly in the night, and you can ban our parties. You can attack us on the streets. You can even kill us. You can do all of these things, but you are never going to stop nationalism. Because these principles are natural law, they are God-ordained, these are eternal principles, and you are never, ever, ever, ever going to stop what we are. Our movement can never die because these values are in your blood. From the time you're a young child, you have the idea and the principles that what your family is your extended family. It is your race. You cannot stop us. So you're only making the situation far worse for yourself, essentially. But yeah, it's... I would say, again, if you've got the time, get involved and send off the emails, go to the Daily Stormer and check in on that. Also, we've got a lot of comrades behind the wire right now, especially in Europe, that, you know, for doing nothing. You know, the Nordic Resistance comrade that's facing these manslaughter charges when he didn't kill anybody, but that's, the state seems to think it's irrelevant, or guys from National Action that are behind bars. There's a lot of guys who are behind the wire right now because the system is cracking down on us. So I would encourage... In this time, this Christmas, this Yule season, send them letters. That is such a powerful thing you can do, to send them letters, let them know that they're not forgotten, let them know that we're carrying on the fight, and let them know that that their sacrifices are going to be remembered for all time. So do what you can to be able to support Mr. Spencer in this opportunity, support our comrades overseas. Daily Storm has also put out some great articles with contact information for our comrades who need letters. I would definitely encourage that. And stay close to your families, y'all, because 2017, again, we're winning, but the system is getting angry because we're winning. When we were a fringe group, they wanted to ignore us. But as we're growing in power around the world, this nationalism is winning the hearts and minds of millions of people. Every single year, more people are coming to us. This is when they're going to start attacking us. And we need to be able to stand together, to love one another, respect one another, and work together. So, Jason, last show not only of the week, but we're taking next week off. So, give me something profound to carry us off.
Profound. Let me use a friend of mine's lyrics. I will not name him because it might get him in trouble. We've been through everything and we all have our scars. We may be broken, but you can't kill all of us.
Amen to that. So comrades, I just want to thank you so much for being here again. a Merry Christmas, a Happy Yule to all of my comrades, to all my ortho bros. We got another week. We got another week and a half or so, but we're gonna get there as well. Enjoy this time, everyone, because the work we're doing is truly changing the history of mankind. So be involved in the struggle. Tomorrow is always too late. Get out there and do something today, as another great lyricist said. So, guys, thank you so much. Jason, thank you for being here. Everyone, I will look forward to being back with you in the new year with another entire exciting year of the Daily Traditionalist. This has been a great first year, absolutely amazing, and I appreciate all of my dedicated listeners. So, guys, have a great day, and hail victory!
Happy Christmas from Radio Aryan. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas. You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioAryan.com.